Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. I'm Jeff Gamet. Today is Wednesday, February 14th, 2018. And with me today, Kelly Gumont. How are you, Kelly?
No, sorry. Did you need me to? I was thinking about Black Panther. Hi.
Hi. I totally get it. Your pause is completely appropriate because Black Panther. Yeah. Mm-hmm. John Bartolaro, how are you?
I am very good. Good morning, Miss Kelly.
Good morning, John. And happy Valentine's Day to both of you.
And happy Valentine's Day to you and to all our listeners. Unless you're not into Valentine's Day, and then happy whatever day it is, because everyone deserves happy days.
Happy Wednesday.
Happy Wednesday. Yeah. Happy Black Panther. Anyhow.
I prefer Pink Panther.
Monsieur, that is not my dog.
Oh, no!
Okay, in the scene.
Derail early, derail often. Oh, hey, everybody.
Man, welcome to today's rabbit hole. all right, well, let's dive into a different rabbit hole that might be tangentially related, which is Skype. And here's the deal. Skype, security researchers found a pretty big flaw in the software update mechanism for Skype that could allow someone to take control over a victim's computer. And this security flaw affects Windows, Mac OS, and Linux. So if you're running Skype on a desktop computer or laptop computer, then you are susceptible to this flaw. So here's what it does. It's what the attacker can do is inject extra code into the software update tool that Microsoft created for Skype. And then this tool installs other...
On Microsoft servers or on your Mac?
It can be on anything. This is cross.
What I mean is, where does the injection take place?
That's not exactly clear, but it would probably, just based on what I have read, I'm assuming it would be locally where this has happened. So somehow the attackers have to get this to go in line with the updater tool. And so they're actually using the updater tool to feed this in. So,
well, that brings up a good question. Can I introduce a subroutine? apps on the Mac App Store, I think, are digitally signed, but other apps aren't. Is there a point where Apple's going to require all apps on Mac OS to be digitally signed?
My guess is no, because that genie was let out of the bottle. Or toothpaste tube, however you want to make your analogies, long ago.
Trying to remember.
And while the settings that we have by default in Mac OS kind of limit the apps that we can install, or at least run, we're not completely limited. So it's just a couple mouse clicks, and you can install anything you want as long as it's compiled for the Mac, and away you go. But anyhow, back to this security flaw. However the system works to inject this extra malware junk into the updater system, what it then does is installs other files on the computer that then can download whatever they want. And in the process, they've been able to escalate their access from regular user, if that's how you're logged in, all the way up to administrator. And so, you know, at that point, they can do anything an administrator can do. So, you know, that's a pretty big, serious problem. And what we know right now is that the security researchers that were testing this out and reproducing the problem, they let Microsoft know about this in September 2017. So Microsoft has known about it since then. Microsoft has been able to reproduce the problem themselves. And then in October 2017, Microsoft told the security researchers that found this, and this was all done privately, by the way. They told the security researchers, yep, we can reproduce it, but it requires a complete rewrite of our updater system or code, and we're just not going to do that. So what that means is that now that the security researchers hit their deadline and announced this publicly, that everyone knows about the security flaw, someone's going to start taking advantage of it, and Microsoft has said they have no plans to fix this. But let me add in, because I know that there's some of our listeners out there that are like, wait, no, there's more. And you're right, there is. Microsoft also said they will fix it, but this is going to come in some future big update for Skype where they will have completed the rewrite of this updater mechanism. So the fix will come at some point. We don't know when. And I can't even say until then we are susceptible to this security flaw, because we'll be susceptible afterwards, or at least people that haven't updated to that version of Skype, because Microsoft isn't just killing off the old updater system. They're going to let it run. And what they said is that they will slowly over time deprecate that. So the old update system, what we have today, that's susceptible to this big security flaw, that's not going away for a long time.
So I take it that because Microsoft isn't in a huge panic and it's not something where they feel a great deal of urgency, they can phase it in. That's probably an estimate of the likelihood of a malware injection, and so they can phase it in over time. Also, if you are running a current version of Skype and you turn off automatic updates, then the updates will never apply, and you can hold the fort, maybe, until Microsoft advises us there's a whole new version to download, not via the updater, but do a direct download of a new version of the app.
Well,
does that sound reasonable?
On the first part of what you said, maybe, but at the same time, it looks like the security researchers that found this were able to create or actually do this without too much trouble. It apparently was a little bit clunky, but there's nothing that would stop this from being weaponized.
Bypassing Gatekeeper and SIP.
That's a good question. Is there something Apple can do to help prevent this from being a problem for Mac users? On the Windows side, I don't know what Microsoft is planning on doing, and who knows what's going to happen on the Linux side? With all the different distros and forks
Seems to me a strange security posture to say, "Here's a flaw. We're not going to do anything about it. Hey guys, go have at it." I strongly suspect, as you suspect just now, that there's something going on behind the scenes that we're not being told about.
Yeah, it's very possible. But the fact that this is out in the wild now, and as soon as the information was released, there were people that were like, sweet, and were ready to start playing around with this and seeing what they could do. So, to me, it seems very concerning that there's now a zero-day exploit for Skype that could allow someone to remotely take control of your computer. And Microsoft's response is, yeah, we'll get to that. I know that's not exactly how they're saying
Understand it, if you don't run the updater, you're okay, as I understand it.
That's my understanding. But
lots of people are set to update automatically.
Yeah. So
if there's an option in Skype, you can turn that off.
Yeah. So if they change that setting, now they stop. They're frozen at whatever version they have. And Microsoft has been doing this thing where, as they release new updates,
you can't talk to people who have an older version.
Yeah. And then you have to update if you want to continue using Skype.
Mm-hmm.
Which is why ultimately I had to go to kindergarten Skype for many of the shows that I do. Even though
the setting is in general, At the bottom of the general settings, it says always keep Skype up to date. You can unselect that.
Mm-hmm. Yes, you can.
Which is great until you can't use Skype anymore to talk to other
people. Then you use Discord.
Well, I was going to say, I've upgraded Skype, and I've upgraded Skype all the way to Discord. That's the version of Skype I use right now. Somebody asked me just the other day what version of Skype I was using, and I said, Discord. And they went, what? Are you on a beta? And I said, no. I have forsaken Skype in every opportunity. I do not use Skype. I use Discord instead. In fact, the other podcast I regularly record on Wednesdays, in fact, is the Westworld podcast I do with Don Melton. And when we were getting ready to start doing the rewatch of Westworld, he said, you know, I said something about make sure call recorder is updated because it'll make you quit Skype. And he said, I've been using Discord to talk to people instead. Do you want to just do that? And I said, oh, thank you, Don. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Because it eliminated Skype from basically all the stuff that I have to do for the most part. I still have to use it once in a while for a thing. Mm-hmm. But I'm also willing to just go download the latest version from Skype.com/download if I need it.
So our Dave Hamilton wrote an article about how to set up a URL for people who don't have Discord. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. they can run this URL within their Chrome browser. I think Safari mm-hmm. doesn't work. Run this URL in the Chrome browser and connect to you on your installation of Discord. Is that right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So that will work and for people who don't want to make the leap yet.
And a bonus is that if you do decide to go with Discord, it works the same way as Skype. It's free. You set up an account, you download an app, and you sign into it.
Yeah.
So like the broad strokes are that it's the same process. You can do the same sort of things. You can send a text message. You can send text chat to people. You can call them up. You can do all of the same stuff that you did with Skype. And I would be willing to go out on a limb and say that if you are looking to transition away, if you're looking to upgrade Skype all the way to Discord, like we have, mm-hmm. We would be happy if you would ask us those questions about what you want to know about Discord so that we can help you get there and not have to do any of this nonsense with Skype anymore.
Sure. And we have another topic to hit, so I'm going to move us on. But before we do that, I just want to say that for those of you that were complaining about the audio quality we were having for a while, we switched Discord during that whole phase, and it was like night and day. And so if you've noticed that the audio quality has been much better for a while on the show, that's because we're using Discord instead of Skype. I really, really like Discord. So yeah, I think the best solution for avoiding this Skype update security flaw is to use Discord. And with that, okay, second topic, like I promised. And we need to talk about Verizon. So here's the deal. Verizon, as of Monday, is no longer selling unlocked iPhones. And the reason that they said that they were doing this is because the iPhone is a prime theft target. And because they were selling unlocked phones, that made them really valuable on the black market. So they decided that they will sell locked iPhones, and that will fix the problem. Now, here's what they're doing right now. If you buy an iPhone from Verizon, it is locked until activation, and then it becomes an unlocked iPhone. So that's okay. But at some point this year, they're going to change that, and they're going to switch over to the same policy that AT&T has, where you have a locked phone until a certain amount of time has passed, and Verizon hasn't said how long that's going to be, and then you can ask them to unlock your phone.
Tell me, Jeff, how do you unlock a Verizon phone on CDMA, and does it use a SIM?
Before we get that far, what does locked and unlocked actually mean?
That's a really good question. Okay, so we'll go in reverse order. Kelly's question and then John's. So a locked phone means that when you buy the phone, it can be used only for the carrier that you purchased it for. So since my iPhone contract is through AT&T, that's the only network that my phone works on. And after I have it for a set amount of time, And I can't remember exactly how long that is.
In the olden days, it was 2 years. I don't know if that's changed since we've gone to everybody just buys their phone now.
I don't think it's 2 years anymore, but we're just going to go with that because that sounds reasonable for now. So a couple years into your phone purchase, then you can do this thing on AT&T's website where you say, hey, unlock my phone. And then you get this message at some point that says, plug your phone into your computer with iTunes active. And then this bit of code goes through and it unlocks it. So now it will work on any carrier that uses a compatible system. And that brings us, John, to your question about CDMA, because AT&T and T-Mobile and most other carriers are using a GSM type system. And then you have CDMA for Verizon and Sprint. These are not compatible systems. Verizon sells what amounts to a world phone. So the Verizon unlocked phone has all of the different protocols in it. So it will work on Verizon or AT&T. And this is what makes it so useful and valuable on the black market, because you can steal a phone and sell it for use on any carrier. And yes, it does have SIM slots, so you can buy a Verizon phone and put in a SIM card for another carrier. This has been a really popular thing for people to do if they travel internationally, so they can get that Verizon phone, pop a SIM card in when they're in another country, and still use their phone.
So to recap, you buy a Verizon phone that's locked to CDMA. You use it for a while. You go through the protocol. You unlock it. And then when it's unlocked, you insert a GSM SIM, put it on any network you want.
Yep.
Is that right?
Yep. There you go.
Okay.
So...
And Verizon, at least as of now, sells them by default where this is an option. So I would be willing to bet, Jeff, that this would have to do with if you were set up for payments. So if you were somebody that went in and got a new phone and you were on a plan where you paid for 2 years for your phone or whatever, when you were finished paying for the phone and it was outright, or if you get to the moment where your line is eligible for upgrade, that's probably when you can ask to get your phone unlocked. That's usually what the AT&T policy always was sort of, if you're eligible for upgrade, then we can unlock the phone that you have. It makes sense to me that they would do that. Honestly, I didn't realize that they were offering it as an option. I thought you had to go to a retailer, like go to Best Buy or go to the Apple Store or someplace like that, and in order to be able to buy an unlocked phone outright. I didn't realize Verizon was actually doing that. So it makes sense to me, particularly because they keep being stolen.
Yeah, well, there you go. I'm wondering, and I'm tossing this out there, even though we only have like a minute and a half left of the show, I'm tossing this out there. Here's what I'm doing. I am putting on my tinfoil hat and I'm adopting Dave Hamilton's philosophy of emotionally supporting all conspiracy theories. Is it possible that Verizon is using this theft as an excuse to lock people into service with them?
That makes a lot more sense.
Certainly. Yes.
Yeah. That's, man.
I'm going to guess that is the...
No tinfoil required.
That's the actual reason. I think they have an excellent PR person who made this come out like it's a customer thing.
Basically what you're saying is there's some PR person for Verizon that just got a really nice fruit basket.
Yes.
Yeah.
One of those Harry and David ones, like the four tower boxes with the pears. Yeah.
Those are pretty sweet.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So it's not fun news today, but still interesting news, because the whole Skype thing, I just find it fascinating that here's this big thing, and Microsoft's response was, and I'm paraphrasing, of course, too much trouble. We'll fix that later. Mm-hmm. And then we have Verizon saying, yeah, no more unlocked phones for you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. This is why we can't have nice things, people. Anyhow, we're out of time, so we have to wrap up. Kelly, thank you for being here today.
Thank you for having me.
And John, thank you for being here as well.
Hey, thanks for having me too. See you later, Kelly.
Bye, John.
And listeners, thank you for joining us. We will see everyone again tomorrow.